Welcome, 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 everybody to Calvary, right here in good old Powder Springs. Nice, cool day today. Nothing nice about it, huh? And had some showers today, of course. In fact, it's steady rain. It hadn't been all day. I think they said, I don't know, at least an inch or two, something like that, inch and a half. You pull out of my neighborhood and go right. That's Sweetwater Church Road, and you cross over 92, and it turns into Brownsville Road, which leads us here. Big old oak tree fell across the entire road today. Knocked out all of our power. I mean, right when I got done studying, the power went out. So I was like, okay, Lord, change the message or what? Or message done, take a nap. So, we were without power for about 3 or 4 hours today. Anybody else without power? You were? Yeah. I don't think it was because of necessarily a storm. It was because of the tree. Praise the Lord anyway, and it's been a good day, and I hope you've had a good day. And of course, Friday is Valentine's Day, and that's what's on the calendar for now. I do want to jump right into things this evening, and just say that most of you know, I'm sure, that Miss Lucille Turner went home to be with the Lord at around 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning. She went home to meet the Lord. She is healed. And she is celebrating Jesus. That's all I can say. That's about all I know. And so let's remember her, if you would. I did send out a call-in post, I believe it was yesterday. And her funeral service, homegoing service, I like to call it, that's going to be on Friday, this Friday, Valentine's Day, at West Cobb Funeral Home at 2 o'clock in the chapel. And a visitation will be from 12 noon up until funeral time there in the chapel. And, Brother Snyder is going to be speaking over her. You know, his mother, I know that's going to be an emotional time. But, wow, the testimony she leaves behind, right? Amazing testimony. And you've known her longer than I have, but since I've known her for right at 8 years. And always just a kind smile, a warm embrace, a few words. What a matriarch of Calvary here and the children's home as far as that's concerned. But let's just remember that and all those arrangements coming up. And Brother Snyder asked us if we would take care of the interment there at the cemetery, and so we're going to be saying a few words at that time at the cemetery. So just remember that, if you would. I got a word today, of course. Yesterday actually, seen something on Facebook, but Miss Cassie sent me a message as well. Lamar Rackley is in the hospital. And I got an update today, and it seems as though his wife had found him upstairs, unresponsive. He was breathing, but unresponsive. And now he has double pneumonia on top of whatever happened with that. So he's getting treated for that, and he's going to have surgery tomorrow. For those who don't know Brother Lamar, he was a former pastor at Pleasant Hill for a number of years. I want to say close to 30 years, something like that. The father of Tim Rackley, who sings with now, it's called Anthem, but it was Old Paths Trio for years. So just remember Brother Lamar. He's a blessing to us. We love Brother Lamar and his family. So just remember that, if you would. Remember him and his family. And remember our children's home. Remember Brother Harold, Miss Diane Ely, in her back. She's having a rough time with that. So let's continue to remember her, if you would. Also, I got an update from Miss Dolores. And I asked how Brother Leonard is doing, how she's doing. And so she says that he isn't doing well. I'm actually reading a text message here. This makes the second week sick, nausea, not eating, very weak. The doctor has given him medicine. He will have another CT scan next Tuesday, February 18th, after treatment on Monday. And so, and plus, Ms. Dolores, she says her AFib is really getting out of control, making her tired. And so we'll just continue to remember them. So I'm pretty sure you guys are watching, and we love you. We are praying for you, Palmers, and certainly lifting you up in prayer, as well as Miss Diane Ely and Randy Ely and the others we've mentioned so far. All right, let's remember, continue to remember Chuck Prestridge, his Uncle Alan that had a stroke, and I believe it's his son-in-law that has cancer, Jim Jr., upcoming foot surgery on the 20th, Miss Dawn Daly, she's recovering from the fall that she had before the UTI. UTI is gone now, and she's still recovering from the fall. Remember her on that. And I'm sure they're watching, so we're praying for you. I like to interact as much as I can out there in internet world, Facebook world, so we're praying for you guys as well. Just remember my grandparents, if you would. James and Shirley Townsend, they're on here, keeping them on here for a while. Of course, they've been with us, but still praying for them. Miss Claudia, Don and Carla Rich over in Cajamarca, Peru. Had a couple missionaries here Sunday night, and I got their letter over here. But they're from Venezuela, and they're actually out of Mays Jackson's son's church. And so they were here. Their pastor told them to come home for a while. They've been gone in Venezuela for like 12 years, they said, Sunday night. And so they're just coming around trying to get their name out there and try to see if anybody's interested in support for Venezuela. So remember them, if you would. Miss Connie Norton, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCricker, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, Jamie Carden. Just remember them. Maybe someone has a prayer request, an update they'd like to mention. I'll open the floor. Someone has something? Hassan? Okay. We'll be remembering that, buddy. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? That's right. Good. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Tandy, surgery went well. Those who can't hear, those watching on Facebook, trying to do better about repeating. Praise the Lord for that. Melissa Lee Allen.
Jim had updated the anthem edition on Facebook today that
they
had a seizure.
Oh. That's right. Okay. There was more to that. So Lamar Reckley had a seizure. And there's a mass on his brain. Wow. A medical induced coma for Lamar, okay. Wow, so that's what that's all about. He had a seizure leading up to finding out he has a mass on the brain. Okay. Well, just remember this. Anybody else? All right, well, while you're continuing to think for a moment, we have a very special birthday boy today. So happy birthday, Brother Randy Maddox. Look at there. Woo! Brother Randy. All right. I made that happen. I made that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I told you. I said no debate. It's going up this for tonight.
And I told you I
run the show. Yeah, but I won. You're up there. Happy birthday, brother. We love you, man. Appreciate you. What a blessing, Brother Randy is, and my goodness, all the things that he does around here. And I know he does it for the Lord and his church, but I am so very thankful and grateful for him. I know you are too. So happy birthday to you. Anybody else?
Ms.
Cassie? Okay. Let's remember this request. Family member of Cassie's. Anybody else before we pray? All right. Well, also, let's remember Thursday, this coming Thursday, tomorrow, is going to be the ladies' prayer brunch. And so remember that, all you ladies that would like to attend that. 11 o'clock, is that right? 11 o'clock. Right down here in the fellowship hall. And so a lot of good things. Of course, Jubilee is only weeks away. Remember that. And all that's in your bulletin as well. All right. Well, we will all have a time of prayer together. This is Wednesday night prayer meeting. Then we'll have Bible study just to follow after Jeff brings a song. So all that would like to meet us in the altar, you can, or pray where you're at. Time of silent prayer.
Nice and loud, and we're going to do I'll Fly Away. Some glad morning when the slop is o'er, I'll fly away to a home where God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have flown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a joys never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Amen to that. I fly away. We could fly away any day now. The Lord comes back for us. And I prayed us. And all right, 2 Timothy tonight, chapter number 1 in your Bibles. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. The verses we're going to cover tonight, we're not going to cover all of these verses, but the verses I'm going to cover are verse number 6 through 14. But our main text point, text verses where we're going to get our points from is verse 6, verse 8, 13, and 14. So there's 4 points. Verse 6, 8, 13, and 14. And all those verses are found wrapped up in 2 Timothy 1, verse number 6 through 14. I'd like to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to introduce the subject matter tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for all things. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be here tonight, keeping us safe through the week. Pray for the next few moments, God, that you would captivate me, bring to my attention everything that we've studied and pondered. And Father, I pray that we would be able to communicate it, Holy Spirit, in a way that's simple to understand and encouraging to the heart tonight to your people and those watching on Facebook and listening online. We love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to say by way of introduction that Paul is writing young Timothy, which is a young preacher and pastor. You know that. He wrote 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy to Timothy, but yet it's for us all to glean from. Now, Timothy pastored the church of Ephesus, most believe. And Paul, he actually met Timothy in Lystra, Asia Minor. He recruited Timothy on his second missionary journey. If you remember, on Sunday night, we briefly mentioned Timothy and Barnabas coming along from Berea, meeting them there in Corinth, and that was Paul's second missionary journey. So he was a missionary, he was a pastor, and he was young. So Paul, he placed Timothy over the Ephesians, this church in Ephesus. There was false teaching going on there. There were some that were walking away from the faith there in Ephesus. And so you can imagine this young man and how he must have felt being commissioned over a certain spot. A lot of pressure. He lacked a lot of experience. He wasn't a novice, because we know the Bible doesn't talk about that. A man ought not to be a novice in such a role as Timothy. He had some experience, but doesn't have a lot of experience. And so he was with Paul. He was Paul's son in the faith. And so Paul writes 1 and 2 Timothy with practical advice and encouragement. Timothy was a disciple of Paul, and again, he was his son in the faith. And so tonight, Paul encourages Timothy in many ways in this book, but I want to share with you four ways. Four ways he encouraged Timothy in his walk with God, and I want to try to use that and apply it to our lives to try to just encourage us in our walk with God, just a practical lesson. But with these four points tonight in verse 6, verse 8, verse 13, and verse 14, I see four ups. Four ups. So the title of the lesson tonight is Paul's four ups for Timothy. He has given four ups, and I want to share those four ups tonight, if I could, to try to be a blessing and a help to you and I both. Number one, in verse number 6, he tells them to stir up. Stir up. Notice what he says in verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And so the words stir up here, it means to rekindle. But it also means to fan into a flame. And so the idea is evident here. The idea is of a fire that is getting ready to go out. I don't know about you or not, but I used to love raking leaves, Brother Bobby, and making a fire, Frank. My grandparents' house, we used to have a burn barrel. And man, some cool fall afternoons, we'd get out there and stuff that burn barrel and light it and just watch it burn. And next thing you know, we'd have hot dogs on a stick over that fire, marshmallows, you know, little boys up to nothing, just having a good time. And many fires we had back then were just on the ground. And there was a certain point where the flames would get so low and it would almost burn out. And so we had to scrape over them flames. We had to get that rake and just, you know, allow some air to get to it. Throw some more leaves or kindling, if you would, on top of that. And it had a way of rekindling that fire. It had to stir it up. And so Paul here, he's speaking to a young man that most believe is actually kind of discouraged with a lot of things going on in his life. He's a young man. He's a young pastor, preacher, missionary. He's commissioned over Ephesus. There is false doctrine going around. Most believe that he is kind of timid. Paul deals with that. And so he says to Timothy, he says, I want you to stir up, rekindle the gift of God which is in thee. And so Paul was encouraging Timothy to keep the flame in his heart and soul for God and ministry hot. Keep things hot in your life, Timothy. And tonight I will say to all of us, there's times where, listen, we're human. There's times where it seems like our fire is going out. You know, nothing is really making us excited spiritually. I mean, we go to our same verses and nothing's jumping out to us. And it doesn't have to. It's God's word. It's there. But just, it just feels like there's a dryness. It feels like things are just so challenging and hard to mount in our life. Well, we could glean from this. We can glean from this that we too are to rekindle or fan the flame in our spiritual lives. How do you do that? You do that through locking in prayer. You do that by reaching out to others. You do that by returning to your first works. Just grabbing a verse and going. You do that by yielding to the Lord moment by moment, day by day, yielding to the Spirit's control. You do that by obedience. You can do that by fasting. And not just fasting from food, but fasting from certain things in your life, in my life, that we may enjoy a time where you're not doing that. You're giving it up for God. All these things help us to stir up, to rekindle the flame of devotion in our life for God. God gave us the gift of salvation and spiritual abilities, but it's our job to keep up with the maintenance of those things. God gives it to us, and we're to be stewards over that, over our time and our talents and all these things. And sometimes if we don't give the proper maintenance to them, the passion can kind of dwindle. The enthusiasm can kind of dwindle. And we'll find ourselves praying, God, what's going on in our life? What's going on in my life, oh Lord? I mean, I tithe and I read and all these things. God, just what is going on? Please show me what's going on. And so it's a matter of engaging in prayer and stirring things up in prayer. I tell you, we really don't pray until we're desperate. Isn't that right? I mean, when there's a situation that makes us desperate, when there's a physical problem, when there's a marital problem, a problem with our kids or grandkids, something like that comes along, we get desperate, don't we? And when we're desperate, we go to God in prayer, or at least we should. And it has a way of stirring things up. God has a way. I remember a message Brother Berman preached years ago, and I preached a similar message myself about how God stirs the nest in our lives. Things can be going great one day, and the very next day, things can be stirring around in the house. Problems or challenges. And I think the Lord allows these problems and challenges to enter into our lives to get us moving, to get us working, to get us reaching, you know, to get us being dependent, to get us relying on Him. He talks about that mother eagle stirring up the nest and all of those things. And so tonight, God gave us the gift of salvation and spiritual abilities, but we got to make sure we maintain not the salvation, but the spiritual gifts. Now, the things that God has imparted to us takes cultivation and personal care. Christian growth doesn't occur automatically. You know that as well as I do. It takes careful attention. Now, tonight, why would Paul even feel the need to encourage Timothy this way? I mean, specifically, why would Paul write and say, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee"? Why would he even, I mean, particularly, is there any reason why he would say that? And I would say, yes, there's a few reasons. Number one, I believe that, and of course, you can read and follow along, Paul was in prison when he wrote this epistle. He speaks about being a prisoner of the Lord in verse number 8. And so Paul was in prison when he wrote these epistles. 1st and 2nd Timothy, most believe. Definitely 2nd Timothy, but most believe 1st and 2nd Timothy. But anyway, Paul was his spiritual father. In verse number 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. So now that his spiritual father was in prison, it was discouraging to him. This was his mentor. This was his spiritual father. He was in the shadow of Paul since he's been saved. On mission trips and now here at the church. And he was possibly discouraged because his leader, his pastor, was in prison. And so he tells him to stir up the gift of God which is in him. There's another reason I believe Paul encourages Timothy here to stir himself up spiritually. Because it has to do with his posterity. Notice if you would in verse number 4. greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, or Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Why did he mention his posterity? Why did he mention his grandmother and his mother? And why did Paul say, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee? Paul was reminded Timothy that he did indeed have a genuine faith. He had a real faith, a genuine faith. In fact, he says, your grandmother Lois had the same kind of faith. Your mother Eunice had the same kind of faith. And I am also persuaded that that same kind of real, genuine faith is in thee also. Wherefore, stir yourself up. So Paul was encouraging Timothy that it was evident he had real, genuine salvation and gifts and abilities and faith. He says, I've seen it in your grandmother, I've seen it in your mother, and it's in you as well. So I want you to stir up the gift that is within you. And so Paul, he encourages Timothy by telling him he has a genuine faith and posterity. This is to stir him up. You and I tonight, I don't necessarily come from a Christian background on, let's see, my dad's side, but there's some Christian heritage on my grandmother's side. My grandmother's sister, which is my great aunt, her son is a pastor, David Camp. My cousin JoJo in Athens, David pastors in Marietta. JoJo pastors in Athens. I've got relatives, pastor after pastor after pastor, you know, and all of these things. There is a heritage there. There is a posterity there, you know. And sometimes when it seems like my flame gets a little low, I start to think about how God's hand has been on my family. How I have a cousin who pastors and preaches, and I don't know, whatever David is to me, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. What's that word? What's the phrase and terminology there? Second cousin, less something? Twice removed, whatever that means. I still don't know what that means. I think it's something, second cousin, twice removed, whatever, something like that. But I get to thinking about that, and I watch his preaching videos and his church and JoJo and all of those things and how that I know that my life changed when I got saved. It has a way of stirring me up. I'm just rekindling the flames. Think about your posterity. Think about your heritage. Think about your lineage and the generation you come from. Think about your favorite pastors and preachers down through the years or prayer partners down through the years. And it has a way, when you dwell on those things, it has a way of stirring you up when you need it the very most. So I believe that he was talking about and drawing attention to his genuine faith and posterity as a means of encouragement, where he says, Stir up the gift of God which is in thee. But then he encourages Timothy. Paul encourages Timothy to stir up himself spiritually by reminding him of the presbytery. What do you mean presbytery? Well, when there's an ordination service, there's elect men that are involved. I remember when we ordained Brother Jeff as a deacon. And that was a wonderful time. Man, how many years ago was that been? It's time's flying. It's been 3 or 4 years at least. And they lay hands on you, the candidate, and what they're saying is they're not transmitting any power. Men don't have that ability to transmit any power. But we are identifying with the gifts that Brother Jeff has. We identify with that thing. We believe Brother Jeff is a deacon and he has those abilities and it's already been seen and we're confirming that. What does that got to do with Timothy? Well, Paul talks about that here. He says, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul says, listen, Timothy, don't be discouraged for too long. Don't feel like you're not able. Don't feel like you can't make a difference. I was there at your ordination. I laid hands on you. I identified saying, yes, this man is called of God. Yes, this man has abilities that God has given him to do this job. And Paul said that concerning the presbytery and the other men, I'm sure, that were there laying hands on him to stir that gift up, to as a means of rekindling that fire, as a means of rekindling his devotion to the Lord, his calling, and all of those things. And so he's talking about a presbytery here, ordination. Paul recognizes and reminds Timothy that he's gifted. So we see that Paul is trying to encourage Timothy in this manner as well. Timothy, you may be struggling. You may be timid, but you are able with the power of God through you. And so we see that there was the first up when it comes to Paul encouraging Timothy. And his four ups, number one is the words, stir up. Stir up. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, I want to move forward a little bit to the next point. Not only he tells him the words, stir up, but in verse number 8, we're going to skip 7, we're going to touch it in a minute. But then he tells them to speak up. Speak up. Notice in verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, Timothy, speak up. Stir up. Speak up. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. That's what he tells Timothy. All right? A lot believe that Timothy, again, was, and I believe this, that he was a little on the timid side, that he struggled with standing strong for the gospel because of the persecution the church was facing. Think about it, being a young person, a younger person, and standing for the Lord when people are being killed over their faith. And here this young man is. And so he told him to speak up. Speak up, Timothy. Now in verse number 7 he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you remember or not, Sunday night we mentioned Paul as the Lord spoke to him at Corinth. It says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. And so there's implication there that Paul must have been afraid. Scripture don't say that. But he must have had some kind of fear there for God to deal with it. And so Paul learned how not to be afraid and trust in the Lord. Now he's telling Timothy, I've been there, I've done that. The fear that you have, God didn't give it, but he did give you the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit and the ability to have a sound mind. Verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He says, speak up. Speak up, Timothy. Don't be ashamed or bashful or scared to speak of the gospel of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of myself, Paul, prisoner of the gospel. He was a prisoner of the gospel. Timothy, don't be ashamed of my chains and my bonds. I'm in jail, I'm in prison, but don't be ashamed because it's because of the gospel. Don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed, don't be scared because I'm in jail, in prison. And then Paul tells him to be willing to share in the sufferings for the gospel. Listen to verse 8 again. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, be willing to share in the sufferings. times of suffering will come, Timothy. They will come. And so he tells them to be willing to share in those sufferings. He says, and it's the power of God that would allow you to endure those sufferings. He says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And so he tells Timothy, Timothy, speak up. Speak up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Be willing to suffer. He says, it's the power of God that will sustain you through and in your calling. So he tells them here to speak up. And I'll say tonight, let us be not afraid of the sufferings and trials we may encounter. There may be times of suffering, and no doubt there has been, and there may be more times of suffering for you, or there may be certain encounters that bring you out of your comfort zone and myself, but let us not be afraid of those sufferings, for it is the power of God that will get us through. And because it's the power of God that will get us through times of suffering and afflictions, let us stay focused on being a witness for Jesus. You see, Satan will love, and he does love, to get us thinking about and focused on our problems. Because if we're focused on our problems, we're worried about our problems, we won't be witnessing over here. So Jesus said, Paul says here, he says, Timothy, focus on the gospel and you just speak up. Focus on the gospel. Speak up. Let the Lord and His power take care of your times of suffering. And so that tonight can be conveyed to us. Let us speak up of the gospel. Be not afraid of our sufferings or trials we may encounter, for it is the power of God that will get us through. All right, and so we are to not be entangled in chapter 2, verse 4. Not be entangled with the affairs of this life. Not be focused and wrapped up in these affairs of this life, that we may please Him who hath called us to be a soldier. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you beat up tonight? Do you have some mental wounds? Do you have some mental battles going on? Are you experiencing some spiritual warfare? Guess what? You are a soldier. Soldiers experience warfare. But he says, you be a good soldier. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so he tells us, Paul tells Timothy, he says, back in verse number 8 of chapter 1, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Speak up, Timothy. Stir up, Timothy. But then number 3 tonight, hold up. Hold up. Talking about Paul's 4 ups for Timothy. The third one is hold up, found in verse number 13. Listen to this. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And so I say, hold up, which is saying the same thing, hold fast. In other words, don't deviate from the gospel that you heard of me, Timothy, Paul speaking. Don't deviate. Now, there's a word here, form. Hold fast the form of sound words. That word form is the same word or through the idea of a pattern. A pattern. A pattern, as though Paul had an outline or pattern of doctrine that he shared publicly and privately, which Timothy would hear. So he's saying, hold fast the pattern, the outline, what you've heard of me, the doctrine. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. All right? And so basically he's talking about the gospel here. He's saying, hold fast. Don't deviate, Timothy, from the doctrine. Don't allow these false teachings to creep in and allow you to stray like a lot of them have. A lot of people during that time would come along and mix works with grace, upholding the law of Moses and all the rest of it. And so he says, hold fast or hold up the form of doctrine, the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Then he says, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So in faith, the exercise of faith, love, the principle of love, all of this finds itself in Christ Jesus. So he's saying to don't deviate from the doctrine that I have showed you and shared with you, but share it. Hold up. Hold to it. And share it in faith and love. In other words, exercising your faith, believing in faith that it is the words of God, and to share it or operate out of love. Out of love. We've got to operate out of love, don't we? I mean, sometimes when we see people, I've been dealing with someone this week, doesn't go to church here. Let me just say, doesn't go to church here. I've been dealing with someone this week of a younger age, a male, and man, it's just hard sometimes. I mean, I shared with him how I felt about some things and what the Bible says, and you know, I don't know. It's aggravating sometimes when somebody don't get it, you know, they just don't get it. You almost want to get physical with them, you know. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And maybe I shouldn't have done that because a lot of people, some people may be watching and he may be one of them, but oh well. Okay? My feathers have been ruffled a little bit this week. And I got to remember, though, it's to be done in love. In love. Operate out of the love of God. Share the gospel out of love. And someone aggravates you, just go to the Scripture, see what the Scriptures say, and then act accordingly out of love. And buddy, it's a job sometimes to do that. Out of faith and love. Let us operate out of faith and love as we stand firm on the gospel, not deviating from the righteous path we've started on. Wrong is wrong, right is right. The Bible has not changed. We are not going to compromise. We're not going to deviate. We're going to hold up. We're going to hold up because the Word of God doesn't change. And so Paul tells Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the fourth up, and that is to keep up. Keep up. And these are just more than a play on words. They mean something. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I label this point keep up because it's surrounded by that word keep. Now, the word keep here, it means to watch or be on guard. Watch or be on guard. All right, and so what is he talking about? Watch or be on guard. Well, go back before that word keep and look at the word good or the words good thing. That good thing which was committed or given unto thee, keep, guard, watch by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. What is he saying? He's talking about the good thing. First of all, the gospel that was committed unto you. And then he's talking about his calling, which was, he's talking about the calling which was committed unto Timothy, the gospel which was committed unto Timothy. But also, I believe you could say the blessings of God that was given to Timothy. And you see, we can look at this and say that there's been some good things given to us in our life. Amen. Number one, our salvation has been given. That's settled. God has also blessed us with abilities and talents. God has also blessed us with families and friends. God has blessed us with blessings on top of blessings. God has just been good. And so he tells Timothy, Timothy, God has been good to you, and you need to guard those things. He says you need to be watchful over the things that God has blessed you. Guard your calling, Timothy. You're a young man. You're a young man. And I don't know. I haven't seen any scripture where Timothy was married. Do you? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. If I am, I stand corrected. Maybe I need to go back and look. But nonetheless, he was a young man in ministry. He must guard himself morally. We too, doesn't matter how young, middle-aged, or older we are, we need to guard ourselves morally. Because the devil, our flesh, this world would love to steal what we have. Can't steal our salvation, but can definitely steal the joy we have with walking with Jesus. The peace that we have, the things that God has given us, family and homes and cars and finances, what have you, all of those things. The devil, our flesh, and the world would love nothing more but to corrupt those things. And so he says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep, guard. Well, Paul, how am I supposed to do that? By the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. We see here, I want you to notice something. In verse number 12, we see that something was committed by Paul to God, and that God would keep that, or keep the maintenance of that. Look at verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So we see here that Paul has committed himself to God, I believe. He's talking about salvation. And God will keep that which he has committed unto him against that day. So this has something to do with man committing to God, but verse number 14 has something to do with God committing to man. That good thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse number 12 has to do with God committing to man, and verse number 14 has to do with man committing to God. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And so we see that it was Timothy's job to keep a watchful eye over the things of God that he has blessed them with. He is to guard and watch something that was committed to God, to Timothy, that he would keep, as verse 12 talks about something Paul committed to God that God would keep. And again, it was the publication primarily of the gospel and the gifts of the Spirit and everything that follows that God has given. Also, I will say that Timothy, again, he must keep a watchful eye on his life that nothing hinders the carrying out of his calling. And so, you and I, the same thing goes for. You and I must keep a watch on our life. We must be on guard because there's an enemy that wants to steal what God has given us. And this is possible, to keep a watchful eye, to keep that which has been committed unto us by, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And so we see that there's four ups that Paul gives Timothy. Again, the first up has to do with stir up in verse number 6. The second up is in verse number 8. And it has to do with speak up, verse number 13, hold up. Verse number 14, keep up. And so the message tonight is simply that, is just Paul trying to encourage this young man But not just him. This is for all of us. All of us could be encouraged by this. Paul's four ups for Timothy. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. I hope the points have got across the way that you put them in my heart, Lord. It's evident. It's right there on the surface. And so I pray, Lord, that we would stir up some things in our life, that we would just speak up of your name, and Lord, that we would hold up under the doctrine that we've received, and that we would keep up, that we would guard ourselves from the evil one and anything that may try to take away what you have given us. Our salvation can't be taken away. We know that. In fact, we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as the scriptures say. That's the maintenance part of salvation. But other than that, Lord, help us tonight. Just stay in step with you. We love you. We praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen.